You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Love Thursdays, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the boys and girls and animals. Welcome to the program. Let's not leave anyone out. We don't care your pronoun. It's great to have your company on the program. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy here on 1170 AM SEN in Sydney through 693 in Queensland. You're taking us for the first hour. Wherever you're listening on the app, maybe you're listening on the podcast, and you're getting us later in the day, maybe next week, and you'll already know what we're about to talk about. But Brandy, Thursday, footy starts again. Another huge game when we're talking NRL, Roosters, Panthers. And you have had a pretty big, well, not quite 24 hours, but since you went off air yesterday, it's been pretty big and it's had a lot to do with Penrith.
Yes. Jumped in the car, Vossie, and left early, departed from you yesterday morning about 20 minutes early because I had a deadline to get, had to get to Penrith by 10:15. Just as I was leaving the house, word came through that there'd been an accident on the M4. So there was all sorts of worries about where the accident was. Anyway, I got out there, no problem. Got out there right on time to be involved in the jersey presentation for Maverick Geyer, which was very exciting for the family and has been all weekend. A lot of anticipation whether he was going to get named over the weekend when trying to, you know, put the dots together. Mav was taken off playing New South Wales Cup at Belmore Oval, and I was talking to MG about it yesterday, and he said, geez, I thought Mav was going all right. When they pulled him off, I was worried. I thought, well, MG said to Megan, Mav's been hooked, like just hooked, yes. Yeah. So he had no idea. So he got to the end of the game thinking, Mav, what, you know, why'd you come off? You didn't go back on. No worse. So they were feeling pretty ordinary. Anyway, it wasn't until Mav spoke to MG and said, look, Dad, you know, I might be a chance of being picked next week.
Ooh,
so anyway, so that secret. Started
zip the lips, Dad. Zip the lips.
That started the little roll. But the jersey presentation was fantastic yesterday. MG spoke beautifully. Mav got up and spoke, and they were both great. They were both terrific. I went with Megan. Maverick's older brother Logan was there too. So there was five of us in the dressing room. The reception that the boys, MG and Megan said, well, Megan said, look, I've been involved in footy for a long time. Like, Megan grew up, you know, with me and my two brothers playing footy. Yet we all played grade. You know, my middle brother, Pete, he played under 23s and bit of reserve grade for Penrith too. So my sisters grew up in a rugby league family, but Megan said, I've never experienced anything like that. Walking into the dressing room and the players and the staff and the rousing reception that they gave all of us and Maverick when he spoke, she said, it blew me away.
That's so good.
So it was, it was so good. And Ivan's
culture.
Done
so. You're talking about club, the culture's a word that just gets thrown around. Well, it's obviously a strong culture at Penrith.
MG said to me, he said, that's why they're winning. That, like, the feeling in that dressing room, and it was a cramped little dressing room, and all the players and all the staff were in there, and it was such a reception that Megan said, oh, well, I've never experienced anything like that. That was
that is a great tale. That is a great tale. Now, Dean Ritchie's come up with a bit of gold today too. So Maverick will make his debut
what is it? Is it 40 years to the day since yours? Are we talking the actual day? 40 years to the day?
28th of March. I was driving out there yesterday.
Uncle Brandy. Yeah.
Uncle Brandy. I was driving out there yesterday and Bulldog rang me and he said, Brandy, did you know? He said, I've just found out that you made your debut on the 28th of March, 1984. And I said, wow, really? 40 years ago to the day. And he said, do you remember much about your debut? And I told him how it happened. And I think it wasn't until last year that I really put that down as my debut game. I always spoke about my debut game, and I've always said, and me and Paul Dunn have made our debuts on the same day. He was playing for the Roosters, and I was playing for the Panthers, round 3, 1984. I never considered running onto the field at Brookvale Oval the week before after playing reserve grade as my debut game. But that is true. That's how it's measured these days.
Well, it's remiss of me not to say happy anniversary, Brandy. 40 years.
40 years ago.
That's four decades. You realise that? That's four decades.
Yes.
Yes. That's a long time.
Now, speaking
how
of
many
long
days
times?
Is that? That's 14,600 days. No, even more than that, because leap years. That's 14,610 days since you made your debut. How's the last 14,610 days been, Brandy?
It's a lot of waking up, Rossy.
Well, it's just a good thing. It's a good thing to wake up.
Now, it's Throwback Thursday, Andrew. So apart from the sport that we've got happening tonight, we've got the Roosters and the Panthers doing battle. In the NBL, it's crunch time. Melbourne up against Tasmania. In the AFL, the sides that haven't been scratching around down the bottom of the ladder, the Brisbane Lions and Collingwood do battle up there in Brisbane. And I think, I've been doing the Brisbane weather all week, and it's been, every day has been raining. So... It's going to be a wet weekend,
Brandy. It sounds like you're leading us down to you can have tomorrow off because tonight's so big in sport. Is that where you're headed? Grand final rematch AFL, Roosters Panthers NRL basketball whole shebang could be decided. Is that grounds for Friday day?
Could be. Let me think about that. But it's Throwback Thursday, Vossi, and we're going to talk to a man that has been called the caller of all race callers, Paul Ambrosoli, and. We've been chatting a little bit about Paul before we came on air this morning, and you said Paul, worked six days a week, called the dogs everywhere, and never had barely had a sick day in those.
I don't believe he
almost
had one.
50 years, Vossi. Almost 50 years of calling.
I think that's the claim. Never had a sick day. Now this is back in the day when Paul Ambrosoli, the voice of Greyhound Racing. And we didn't have Sunday racing like we have now. So Paul would call six nights of the week. He'd be there, and he'd be not just the big tracks in Sydney, Wentworth Park and Harold Park, used to have the dogs, but he'd be Dapto, he'd be Bulleye, he'd be Gosford. You know, he did the rounds.
Yeah.
And there are legendary stories of being so sick, he's wrapped in a blanket in the commentary box but didn't miss a day's work. There must have been some hiccups before calls and things.
Right, there must have been some sort of, like... Over almost a 50-year period of calling and driving to all those race meetings, had to be some case. Drama, some dramas around car, getting there and traffic jams and all that sort of stuff. But just on it, so Paul Ambrosoli mightn't have missed a day's work in 50 years.
Yeah.
Charlie's not here today.
No.
Charlie's
that's
not
where
here.
We go with that.
Well, that's
Dan
where
was
we're going
to be here, and he didn't Hang turn on. Up either, so we so, Lu- lost everyone.
Lieutenant Dan, who has moved on to, greener grass. The grass isn't always greener, but he's moved
fake
over.
Grass.
Yeah, fake grass. Yeah, he was coming back. He was going to do a celebrity stint for us this morning, but rang up earlier in the week.
Yeah,
and said he had a cold and couldn't be available Thursday.
There we go. What timely that we have Paul Ambrosoli on. I reckon we're asking you right now, 1300 01 1170, just away from the sport, because we've got some meaty subjects to get into. Are you out there that you have worked every day of your life? Are you just a not sick day? Like I've missed the occasional rugby league match, and I hate it. I hate missing a game, commentary, but... You know, you're so sick, you can't get off the, you're driving the porcelain bus. That's normally the one. You push through with colds, sore throats, sorts of things.
Yep.
Out there listening right now, I reckon we're going to find people that have worked every day of their life. 1-300-01-1170. Or do you know someone who just turns up for work every day they have to? Get on the text as well, 0457-736-736. I reckon they're worth a shout-out. I really do. Acknowledge people over a long span who just keep on working. They turn up, they're committed, good on them. Now, Brandy. And Paul Ambrosoli, he'll come up after 8, Throwback Thursday. He'll have
looking
some
forward to that.
The AFL, the drug story. Yeah. They admitted everything. Yeah. And without apology, is what they said. Let's kick off our discussion with the AFL CEO, Andrew Dillon, speaking yesterday.
That will continue to happen because what we're trying to do is prioritise the health and safety of our players. We don't want our players, if there's a chance that they might have a substance in their system, we don't want them training and we don't want them taking part in matches for their health and welfare above anything else. It is absolutely imperative that no doctor or club official should ever allow or encourage a player to take the field knowing they've recently taken an illicit substance that may be harmful to their health and or may be deemed performance enhancing. The monitoring of players is highly confidential. A doctor or healthcare professional generally cannot disclose the nature of the clinical intervention or condition to others unless the player consents. It's about rehabilitation and intervention, and it has made, over the 19 years it's been in place, it's made a difference to a number of players' lives. And if it was only one or two players, it would be worth it. But I know that it's been more than that. So it has worked. It continues to work. But it could be better. And that's why we're reviewing it.
Is this just some sort of trying to put a positive spin on what has gone down for them?
Very bullish, weren't they?
That's how they are. That is the AFL, isn't it? Isn't the AFL all about brand protection and just pushing their game out as hard as they can?
I heard a grab that was run on SEN News for a good part of the day yesterday where Mr. Dillon said, we are unapologetic about the protection of the privilege of doctor-patient relationship. And using the word privilege. Mm. And that made me so angry because I probably tuned into the news about 6 times and heard the same grab. I'm going to hop on my high horse now, Brandy. I have had a gutful. I hate drug sellers, first and foremost. Father of 3, okay? Never taken an illegal drug in my life. So, am I a dinosaur? Maybe I am. But I hate drug sellers. Don't throw at me anyone is entitled to privilege. Since when does someone who goes out on a night out... So, what the AFL is saying is, we'll cover up the breaking of the law, okay? It's the law of the land, and it's the law of your sport that they break up. Since when does someone who go out, so in the case of the AFLW players and others, just for a night out, they know they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they break the law. They break the law of the land. They break the law of their sport. They support drug sellers, their industry, by buying. Why do they get privileges? What privilege is there? It should be open go. Journalists, if they want to give the names up, well, do it. What the Herald did the other day, they shouldn't be... looked down on because they broke the AFL policy. You don't name players. Why do you have any privileges if you break the law? Why is it privilege? Since when is someone who goes on a night out, takes drugs, a patient? How does that work? I'm sick of it. You know what my policy would be now? You don't get back on the field until you give us your phone records of who you called to buy the drugs. And that would stop drug sellers selling to sports people because they're going to get given up. It may not. But I'm saying I've had a gutful. I'm sick of it.
Yep.
Sick of it.
Yep.
Sick of it that you get privileges if you take drugs. You know you are doing wrong. And drug sellers ruin people's lives. Full stop.
Yeah. Well, no one could argue with that, Vossi, your stance. No, don't you think the uncertainty and rumour surrounding stories in the AFL, they've been around the edges of it. And I think those in Melbourne, and you only have to talk to Vossi, I've spoken to a couple of AFL people and over the last 24 hours, and they've said, we all knew that there was something wrong in Dodge. We all knew that, we knew that there was players taking drugs, but we just thought it was the strike policy that protected their names and, you know, there was a fair bit of innuendo. And I brought it up with Jared about a month ago and said, Jared, I'm only a part-time listener and watcher of commentary around AFL, but there seems to be a massive problem in the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking. And now when this comes out, you go, oh, okay, well, that is it. That's the elephant in the room that they have been protecting. They have been
The point you raised
lying.
Yesterday was a beauty. The point you raised, at some point they sat around, and they're saying like 19 years ago, sat around, this would be a really good idea. It's policy that we won't speak of, so but we can't tell anyone.
Yes.
This would be a really good idea. This is how we're going
to
deal with it.
Well, they've done well to keep it a secret for so long. But then I think the AFL journalists, they don't want to tread on anyone's toes down there. It seems like it's all one big conspiracy. The media know about it. They're not going to say anything. They have been lying to the public. Well, let's just pull him out with a hamstring. Got a hamstring problem. Out. Anyway.
How many people get muddied by it? Yeah, those who had legitimate injuries are now under suspicion over all those times. By the way, the IPL, biggest ever score. Sunrisers Hyderabad, 3 for 277. We'll talk about that a little later. Travis Head went nuts, 62 off 24. But have your say on those things. On the working ethic, if you want to shout, you talk up yourself, talk up someone else who's never missed a day's work. Love to hear from you. 1300 01 1170. And obviously the AFL story is huge. We'd love a Thursday threesome if you've got some tips, Brandy. And of course, who do we sing for?
We sing for our people, Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. You can give us a call on the Great Southern Bank open line, 1300 01 1170. Again, in the running to be the Club Med Caller of the Year for your chance to win a trip to Bali worth almost 10 grand. Thanks for making the switch to Sydney's home of sport, SEN, 1170 AM.